Tomorrow marks 10 years since Superstorm Sandy, the remnants of a hurricane that collided with a winter-like storm in the North Atlantic, then bore down on the East Coast. ABC News meteorologist Ginger Zee broadcasted from Atlantic City, New Jersey.
This city is basically underwater. Water from the ocean, water from the bays, it is everywhere. This is the storm that we forecasted, and then some.
Sandy caused more than $70 billion in damage along the eastern coastline, and it's blamed for more than 150 deaths from the Caribbean to the United States. The storm hit New Jersey and the New York City area at high tide. A 14-foot storm surge and heavy rains brought widespread flooding. More than 8 million people lost power, some for a week. Since then, much of that region has focused not just on rebuilding, but on becoming more resilient and better able to withstand another storm like Sandy. We're joined now by Dawn Zimmer, who was the mayor of Hoboken, New Jersey, when Superstorm Sandy hit. She was in office from 2009 to 2018. So, Dawn Zimmer, welcome to Here Now.
Thanks so much for having me.
For those who don't know the area, Hoboken is just across the Hudson River from Lower Manhattan. It is a small city, but dense. So can you tell us what happened when Sandy hit Hoboken?
So when Sandy hit, the floodwaters, basically the Hudson River came in on us. We became one with the Hudson River. It came in. Hoboken has a lower elevation on each side of the north and the south of the city, and the waters came in and went to the western side of the city and literally filled up the city like a bathtub. So 80% of the city was underwater.
And what happened to you personally? What happened with you and your family and your home?
Well, my home flooded, and I knew it was going to flood. So I was actually stationed at City Hall and kind of set up to work from City Hall. My family sheltered in place through the storm. And, you know, I had called for an evacuation of garden-level apartments. But I know it's different for, obviously, for every community. But for Hoboken, I felt shelter-in-place strategy would work better. So that was the approach that we took. And, you know, luckily, no lives were lost in Hoboken through Superstorm Sandy.
So how long did it take for Hoboken to recover from that storm? I got to say, you know, before I spoke with you, I went and looked at images of Hoboken from those days. And it's incredible, the amount of water. How long did it take to recover?
Well, I mean, it took months. I mean, some people, you know, more than a year. But I mean, it was, you know, it had stages. Obviously, first was, you know, we needed to get the water out. All of our substations were underwater. We needed to get the debris out and then getting the power back on and then helping residents to understand what they needed to do to get the power, you know, back on in their homes, cleaning out their homes, rebuilding. No homes were completely destroyed, but they were, you know, those garden level apartments were severely damaged for residents. Residents described having fish in their homes. So, and then the path took, you know, it took a long time to get the path, at least 3 months to get the path up and running.
The path is a public transportation train. Yeah.
Yes.
So last year, Hoboken launched a large-scale flood prevention project, and it can't be easy to prevent a city like that from flooding. But in the years ahead, with climate change progressing as it is, there are many cities that may be in the same situation as Hoboken. Places like Birmingham, Alabama, not on a river or coast, but it has seen a lot of flooding. It's low-lying. Are the designs that Hoboken is putting into place, will some of those solutions help other cities?
So, I mean, I think if you're facing a flood risk, I think a lot of these strategies are applicable in the green infrastructure strategies. We also worked on energy resiliency. The substations have been raised up, but there's other ways to really look at energy resiliency as well, in particular microgrids and combining that with solar and battery and really making sure that you've got an energy resilient structure as well so that your first responders can keep the community safe through the storm. And that community resiliency is really critical as well. And just as an example, the CERT team, it's called the Community Emergency Response Team. They went around, we had them go around knocking on doors, letting residents know if you're in a garden level apartment, you're at severe risk of having your apartment flood. And I had so many residents tell me afterwards, you saved my life. You know, having that person knock on the door got people to evacuate from those garden level apartments. So I think there's really three components. It's that flood resiliency, energy resiliency, and community resiliency that I think communities should really look at.
Don Zimmer is the former mayor of Hoboken, New Jersey, and was mayor when Superstorm Sandy hit 10 years ago. Don, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
One more note on something we just heard from Don. We spoke today with New York reporter Samantha Maldonado from the news site The City. She agrees the power of community was a big lesson learned after Sandy. She met a local resident who remembers that the first people to help him after the storm were protesters he'd met the year before during the Occupy Wall Street movement. Maldonado says when his family lost power, they didn't have any flashlights until the activists stepped in to help.
It shows not only the longevity of community ties, but it also shows how New Yorkers and people in general come together during crises. They're the people that are the first on the ground, understanding community needs,